This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The power of the music lifts our spirits as we prepare to worship on this Pentecost Sunday. This is a high holy day of the church when we hear the story of the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Jesus' disciples and celebrate it as the birthday of the church. So I am glad that you're here to celebrate this day together. And I'm glad to welcome those of you who are joining us over live stream. And I would invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance, if you would. In the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser that will take you to the registration page. Or there is a QR code in the bulletin you can scan, which will allow you to register digitally, as well as share any prayer concerns, make an offering for the day, and participate in the worship, many aspects of the worship service. This is a full and busy day in the life of our congregation, and I would draw your attention to the announcements in the bulletin about all the different things that are happening today and invite you to participate in any and all of them. So I won't read those out to you, but I do want to highlight all the things that are happening today. We do want to let parents of young ones know that Vacation Bible School registration is open, and we hope that you'll register your children to participate. And for all of us grown-ups, we're all invited to volunteer, so you can register to volunteer, and all that information is in your bulletin. On May 30th, it's a Thursday, during the lunch hour here at West End, we're going to have a lunch and learn, a conversation around mental health, and that information is also in your bulletin. We would love for you to sign up, as this is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we want to do everything we can to nurture one another in our wholeness and wellness. The big announcement is that next week, we are starting our summer schedule. So starting next Sunday, we will have Sunday school at 9 a.m. and one worship service at 10 a.m. Several times throughout the summer, we'll have opportunities for fellowship and gathering during the 11 o'clock hour, so be sure and mark your calendars for those things. The first one will be on Sunday, June 2nd at 11 o'clock. We're going to have a good old-fashioned Methodist potluck, and I want there to be a green bean casserole with fried onions on top from somebody. Because that's not a potluck unless you have that. But you can sign up. Information's in the bulletin about where to go and sign up, and just to let us know what dish you're bringing, so we have a balance. But even if you forget, just show up on that day. It's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship. Today is the day when we are reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through our lives and leads us out into the world to be God's people. So let us gather around this powerful story and open ourselves to the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, ignite our hearts with joy. Come, Holy Spirit, so that we may experience your peace. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the assurance of God's pardon and peace. Merciful God, forgive our hesitant witness and our complacent spirits. Help us to be agents of healing and hope for others. Lead us to be more aware of the people we encounter each day. Inspire in us a fresh desire for sharing your love with all people. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, each in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Grown-ups in the room can be seated, and any kids who want to come and join me for a special moment together, come on down. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screen. We'll have a special few minutes together. Oh, I love your purse. It's sparkly and rainbow colors. I love it. All right. I'm so glad to see everybody. You know, I've lived a long time, and over the course of my life, I've had the opportunity and the privilege to travel to different places across the world and be with other Christians and worship in lots of different ways. So I have worshiped in Russia. I have worshiped with my friend David, who's over there. He's going to talk in a few minutes. He's from Uganda, and we worship together in Uganda. I've worshiped in France in a big cathedral, sort of like this one, people speaking different languages and singing different ways. I've even been to church with a friend of mine here in Nashville, where they had a guitar and drums and a screen and a very different kind of worship. And it's all been really wonderful. And it makes me realize that we are all really different in so many ways. We speak different languages, we live in different places, we play different instruments, we might sing different songs, but we're all one in God. We all love God, and we all want to worship God. And I think God likes it that we're different. I think God wants us to be different so we can reach all different kinds of people and tell them about God's love. We're not supposed to agree on everything. We're not supposed to all look alike. We're supposed to be different. I think that's part of God's plan. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for creating this world and all its beauty and diversity. We thank you for all different kinds of people all across the world and the languages and cultures. And we thank you that your love is for everybody. And you have found all different ways for us to talk about your love. Help us to tell the story of your love in our own way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to children's church.
I want to go to China.
You want to go to China, or you have been to China?
I want to go.
Me too. Maybe we could go together. It'd be fun. I was so glad to hear you guys chuckle during the scripture reading. There's a line in the scripture that makes me laugh every time. Peter gets up to preach, and there are all these people sneering after the Pentecost Spirit has come, and people are sneering and saying, they're drunk with new wine. And I had a seminary professor who said, Peter stands up to say, they're not drunk, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. As if to say, but come back at 6. It's funny. The scriptures are funny sometimes. There's obviously something wild going on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit works in all sorts of ways, ways that we've experienced. Sometimes it's a quiet nudging. Sometimes it's a silent sense of peace. Sometimes it's a passionate response. Sometimes it's like this day of Pentecost, where the Spirit seems to be working in ways that are dramatic and loud and even a bit chaotic. We have the rush of a violent wind and tongues of fire resting on each of the disciples who were present. It was quite a dramatic scene. And so we see these aspects of the Holy Spirit being played out in the Pentecost story. But there's another aspect of the Spirit's work that we can see on this day of Pentecost that I don't think I'd quite noticed before. In this moment, at the Feast of Pentecost, I think the Spirit is also being very strategic. Now, sometimes I resist the idea of being strategic. It somehow seems against the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to just leave room for the Spirit to work as it will, but in this event of Pentecost, I think God is working out God's plan and being very strategic about it. So let me dig into it and explain to you what I mean. It seems that God's plan from the very beginning of time was that the whole world would hear the good news of God's grace and unconditional love and forgiveness and inclusion. And what we see in the scriptures is the unfolding of that plan and of that strategy. And after the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus, it was time to get that news out across to the ends of the earth. We hear the plan at the beginning of Acts as Jesus is about to ascend. He has been raised from the dead. He's spent 40 days teaching and being with his disciples. And then he tells them, you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the plan. And so what is the best way to execute that plan? Well, let's start with just the circle of 12 that Jesus gathered around him. Of course, at this moment in Pentecost, there are only 11 of the original 12. Judas is no longer living. But the other 11 is this motley crew of guys that Jesus has pulled together in Galilee. You have four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, probably couldn't read, likely uneducated, men who worked with their hands, spent their whole life in just a couple of villages in Galilee. You have Matthew, who was a tax collector, who would have been collaborating with the Roman occupying army to collect taxes off of his own people. And then you have Simon the Zealot, who would have been part of that zealot political party, those who wanted to raise up an armed rebellion against the Roman occupiers. And here Jesus has gathered people that diverse around him, walking with them, teaching with them, sitting at table with them, and now they're in the room together. Luke also tells us there were many women with them as well who had followed Jesus all throughout Galilee. Luke is the one whose gospel tells us the most about them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is named specifically. We also know that Mary Magdalene was there in Jerusalem. She was one who was healed by Jesus. We know a little bit of her story that he cast out 7 demons from her. So she was someone who had been very sick in body, mind, and spirit, and he had healed her, and she had followed him for years throughout Galilee. She was at everything. She was at the cross, and she was the first at the empty tomb. And so she's there in that gathering of the disciples in Jerusalem. Luke tells us there were about 120 of them. Who else was there, do you think? They were mostly Galileans, we were told. Can you imagine who else was in that room? Who else would have encountered Jesus and followed him from Galilee all the way to Jerusalem? One of the other women named in Luke's gospel is Joanna, whose husband was a steward of King Herod. So we have Joanna, who is pretty linked in to the circles of power in Judea. Her husband very well may have had the ear of Herod. We may have had the woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years, who had been so sick and had spent all her money trying to be healed and reached out in the crowd that day and touched the tassels of Jesus' robe and was healed. I wonder if she was there. I wonder if she gave up everything and followed Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. Maybe Zacchaeus was there. Jesus had picked him up along the way in Jericho. He was a chief tax collector, a very wealthy man, but also marginalized and ostracized by his community, despised by the Jews who lived in his community. And yet Jesus had invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house, and he was so transformed, he gave away half his possessions. And I wonder if he followed Jesus to Jerusalem. I wonder if he was there with the 120. I wonder about Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. We're going to hear a little bit of Nicodemus' story next week, actually. But we hear more of their story in John's gospel. These are two highly educated, highly respected Pharisees who sit on the high council, the Sanhedrin. But at the end of John's gospel, the two of them together bury Jesus' body and are considered disciples. So did they let go of their fear and join this little band of disciples of 120 in the upper room that day? I wonder if Bartimaeus was there. Remember him? The man who begged on the side of the road, who had been blind from birth, who Jesus healed from his blindness and leapt up and threw his cloak aside and started following Jesus down the road. I wonder if he followed him all the way and was there in that room. Even the few names and stories that I've mentioned, we can see the variety and diversity of people who followed Jesus. The wealthy, educated, powerful, privileged, the poor, marginalized, at the end of their rope, outcasts. But they did have at least one thing in common. Each and every one of them had been changed by Jesus, had been loved and accepted and invited by Jesus. They had all mattered to Jesus. And so they stayed and they followed. And even through the darkest hours of his crucifixion and those days of waiting before he was resurrected from the dead, and now having experienced him as the risen Christ, they are following his commandment and waiting together in one place, worshiping and praying to see what happens next. And then the day of Pentecost arrives. Now here again is another piece of the astounding strategy of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was a Jewish festival, the Feast of Weeks. And so Jews from all over the known world, all over the Roman Empire and beyond, would have been making their way on pilgrimage to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost. And so there were people there who were going to be there for just a few days before they headed back out to the ends of the earth. And so it is that the Spirit on that day makes a ruckus and draws attention. It falls upon these 120 believers, and they begin to speak in languages they didn't even know they knew. All the languages of the earth, and these people who have gathered in Jerusalem from all the corners of the earth start hearing in their own language stories of God's deeds of power. As different as these people are, as different as their experiences of Jesus are, and all the different paths they took to come to follow Jesus, they're telling one story. The story of God's power, the story of God's grace, the story of God's love. And they're telling it in their own way. Can you imagine? Bartimaeus, I was on the side of the road for years begging for people's help, and suddenly he came. And he called me by name. Or Nicodemus saying, you know, I struggled and wrestled, and he met me in the middle of the night, and he took all my questions, and he was patient with me. And over time, as I observed him and spent time with him, I came to believe. All of these different stories telling of God's love for them and for the world. And my friends, I think that's God's strategy still. One Spirit flowing through each and every one of us, as different as we are. We all have different experiences of how God has blessed us and loved us, and how we've experienced the love and the power of God in our lives. Some of us have come to that experience through places of wealth and privilege and education, and others have come to that experience through marginalization and suffering and loss. And yet here we all are with our different stories and our different experiences, all gathered together because we've been changed by the love of Jesus. And each and every one of us has a story to tell. So the question is, what is your story? Your story is no less worthy than anyone else's story. And as the people of faith, part of our shared life together is to tell each other those stories, to encourage each other with those stories, and to go out in the world and live the story. Sometimes we use our words, but always with our lives. We are called in our own way, in our own language, through the framework of our own experience, to tell the one story of God's unconditional love that this world is still so hungry to hear.
To God's word, I invite you to stand and join together in the affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to share your concerns with us. The pastoral team prays for the concerns that we receive throughout the week. You can give those to us either by going to the Contact Us portion of our website, or you can fill out a gray card that is in the pew racks right in front of you and place it in the offering plate as it is passed. I want to encourage you to take your bulletin home today, and during your personal prayer time, remember the names and situations that are in the prayer list in the bulletin. As we thank God for these people and these situations, and as we ask God to be present in those, in their lives. We want to lift up some news about a church member who has passed away. We mourn today with Amy and Matt Owen as they mourn the death of their father and our beloved church member, Mark Owen, who passed away earlier this morning. We will announce information about a service of remembrance as that information becomes available. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creating and sustaining God, we give thanks today as we remember and celebrate the gift of your presence with us. You have chosen to dwell with us to offer your spirit of kinship, acceptance, forgiveness, and peace. And we stand in awe at the lengths that you go to be in relationship with us. As we hear the story of that first Pentecost, where your spirit was given to the disciples, and the sound of the wind and the speaking of tongues. God, we are thankful. We are thankful for your presence with us, for your desire for all people to know who you are. And we give thanks for your creative work in creating all of us in such intricate, beautiful, and different ways. We thank you, God, that you give us all a spirit that is filled with gifts. Gifts to take out the love that you have given to the rest of the world in a unique way. And so, God, as we continue to worship here this morning and as we walk out the doors today, we pray that you would continue to lead us, continue to show us how you have gifted us, how we can share the love that you have offered us to the world, to our families, to our friends, to the people we meet in the supermarkets and along the streets. God, we thank you that you have called each of us to be a part of your work in the world. We pray that we would be found faithful. God, today we come knowing that you understand the deep groanings of our hearts. You know us to the depths of who we are and bear with us as we experience pain, heartache, loss and disappointment, as well as joy, delight, and happiness. And so today we open our hearts and our hands to you and trust you and trust in your provision. And as we lift these up to you, God, in our hearts, we pray the prayer, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, as we share the deep desire of our hearts and our minds today, we seek to trust in your grace, a grace that surrounds us even when we don't know it, a grace that leads us to realize our need for you, and a grace that helps us become all that you have created us to be. We open before you our hearts and offer you our lives as a thank offering for your never-ending grace that offers us life abundant. And it's with that trust in your grace that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today we have the opportunity to hear from one of our mission partners, Raise the Roof Academy. So I'd like to invite Reverend David to come forward and talk to us about it.
Well, good morning, church. I love that. I want to teach you a word from Uganda. I was born in Uganda, and you can use this during lunchtime. So let's learn this word. Will you say after me? Munyumba temuli kubo. Let's try that one more time. Munyumba temuli kubo. So please practice at lunchtime. That is a Ugandan expression that my mother used and still uses up to date. She's 82 years old. And it is an expression she used a lot to teach us lessons of life. And what that those words mean in English, direct translation, is that there is no walkway in a house. It was used to teach us a lot of lessons, but especially the lesson of hospitality. My mother wanted us to learn that anytime you see somebody walk towards your home, they are a guest. Welcome them. They're not cutting through. There is no walkway through a house. This idea of hospitality has been fundamental to my life, and I think if I think of all the many, many lessons my mother taught me, and maybe one of the most important principles or virtues that has transformed my life is that of hospitality. I came to America in 2001 to study. And on the Sunday I left my home church in Uganda to come to America, my mother and her mother, at that time my grandma, called the whole family and friends, and they laid hands on me and they prayed. And they told me to do two things. One, to find a cure for diabetes. And the other one was never to marry a white girl, because my grandma said she's got a black Ugandan girl waiting for me. And I came, and in 2005, my mother also came to my graduation. When she came, to her surprise, I had not figured out the cure for diabetes. There were four jobs you could do if you've gone to university. You could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be an engineer, or a disgrace to the family. Well, at our graduation, I also introduced my mother to then my fiancé, who was a white girl, and she's seated right here. I told my mama, you taught me hospitality, so I'm working on that. My mother is my hero. My father died when I was 6 years old. He died because he was a pastor and a preacher with a loud mouth, like most preachers. And they got him in trouble with the government, and they killed him. 11 of us who were alive at that time, my mother had had 14 children, and 11 of us dropped out of school. I'm the ninth, and I ended up in an orphanage. And in that orphanage, later on, I learned that a single mother from Grants Pass, Oregon, had sponsored me. And that changed my life. In 2010, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee with my wife to go to school at Vanderbilt Divinity School. Carol became my mentor as a Turner Scholar. And I know Nancy Horthon, who was in my cohort, was here. And Michael Williams, the late beloved pastor, was her mentor. And Carol hosted me, and she put up with all my questions and my queries about America and Walmart and all of that. But Carol also listened to me and hosted my desire to build a school in Uganda. And I want to share this. I'm using a few more minutes. You'll bear with me. But in 2011, around Thanksgiving, a dear sister, my oldest sister, got very sick, and I rushed to Uganda. And the time I spent in the hospital with her opened my eyes to what God was calling me. In that hospital, a mother had been hurt badly by a soldier, and she died when she was in the hospital. I was there. And her sister, who was caring for her, fell down, and she started wailing, crying like how we cry in Africa. And the whole crying was, who's going to care for the children? And her tears and the wailing shook me to my core, because in her, I saw my mother. I came back to America, I told Carol, and on January 29th, 2012, Christ United Methodist Church gave me a ministry moment like this to share my story. And that day, people sponsored children. The next year, 2013, Carol came with members of the church in Blakemore to Uganda, and they saw the school. We had 30 children and two teachers. No, we had at then 230 children and a few teachers. The school was started in 2011. And since then, churches and friends like you have been helping children. I want to thank West End for standing with us. Since 2017, you've helped us on the farm and the water project through the missions department. I'm here to say God bless you and thank you so much. And I'm here to also thank you and invite you to continue praying for orphans, but more importantly, for mothers who are left alone in the world to raise their children. And there are many children who don't have a mother or a father to care for them. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus invites us to host children into our hearts, into our lives, into our prayers, into our conversations. And if there's one word my mother has taught me that I want to live with, is this idea of offering hospitality, unconditional hospitality. Thank you, and God bless you.
As we have borne witness to how God continues to use us throughout the world, I invite us to our time of offering and ask us to gather together our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online, I invite you to give via the options listed on the screen, and here in the sanctuary, we will pass plates down the row. There is also a QR code printed in the bulletin if you would like to give electronically. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
we prepare to go forward, we wanted to let you know that David and Marlene will be at a table in Reed Hall to tell you more about Raise the Roof. If you feel called to sponsor a child or just learn more about their ministry, they'll be out there after this service. Beyond these walls, there is a world that God loves and wants to reach with grace and inclusion and forgiveness. Beyond these walls are people who need to hear that story through your unique way of living it. So go forth, live the story filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.